gracious to us yesterday. I hadn't got to teach in a while. And I was supposed to talk last week. Got called into work. The Lord knew all about that. He set it up. And had a kind of rough week. Worked a lot of hours. Pretty tired in this flesh. Went out yesterday and was working on my bees a little bit. I hadn't got to do that in a couple weeks. Got out there and got stung. These three of them rascals got in my veil with me. And they don't give you very many chances to get out of there without getting stung. And so I got stung right in the eye, and my eyes swole up yesterday pretty bad. I didn't know if I was even going to be able to see this morning. But the Lord was gracious to us, and I thank Him for that. Thank Him for answering that prayer. Brother, it's hard to read the Bible whenever you ain't got one eye. It's tough. And it's still bothering me a little bit. If I turn my head much, it throws it off. But God knows all about that.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
And brother, my plan yesterday was to get in here and read all this and read it and read it. But I laid there on the couch with an ice pack on my eye, eating a bunch of Benadryl, trying to keep from my eye swelling up. And I just got to think on it. And I think that's probably for the best. The Lord just helped me a little bit thinking on some of these things.
Yes.
And so we're going to try to get back in here this morning. In the book of 2 Peter, back in chapter 1. It's been a few weeks now. And I'll just go ahead and read. It said, Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you'll get it. If you're going to get any faith, if you're going to have anything, any good in you, it's going to come from God, from your Savior Jesus Christ. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto all us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He said, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He said, it's through those great and precious promises, it's through Jesus Christ that ye might be a partaker of His divine nature. Brother Keith, if you're going to have anything in you that's of God, it's coming from God.
Yes.
It is. I know that's as simple as it can be.
Yes.
But it's a truth that you have to acknowledge that you have it at all, if you have anything in you, if there's any goodness in you, if there's any virtue whatsoever, if anybody can look at you and say, well, that man's a godly man, or that man prays, or if they can see anything in you, it was given to God.
Oh, yeah.
Every bit of it. He said, you might be a partaker of the divine nature. We was just talking about this a second ago. My nature's sinful.
Yeah.
My nature's depraved. But thank God through the new birth, we got a divine nature.
Yeah.
It's imparted into us. The Holy Ghost came to live in me. And thank God through me. Said we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It says having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Brother Keith, that don't mean that I got born again, so now this body ain't going to see corruption. This whole flesh is still corrupt.
Yes,
this whole body is still going to the grave. It's getting older. It's getting weaker. My mind's going. Brethren, pray for me. I'm 43 years old and can't remember a thing. Not a thing. I know it. It's getting worse by the day.
Yes, sir.
I used to laugh at my dad. He'd get hit with a wrench or something, and I'd tell him, I said, you bruise like a peach. I'm getting that way. I see it. Why? Because they're corrupt. We got this whole corrupt blood in us. But thank God he put a divine nature in us. And through that divine nature, you can escape the corruption. Are we escaping the corruption of this flesh? No. I ain't even escaping the corruption of my nature. Because unfortunately, my nature's still in there. I still have a sinly nature in me. A fleshly nature. And it's a struggle each and every day. But God's put a divine nature in us. And through that, we can escape the corruption of this world. The corrupt manners of this world. Brother Joel, what he's saying there is you've got a way to escape your sinful nature. You've got a way to escape your fleshly lusts and desires. You can live above those things. How do you do that? Through Christ. If you're going to do anything, it's going to be through Christ this morning. Verse 3, he said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to godliness. It's through him. It's through his power. It's in his strength. God, through these promises, through his divine power, through his divine strength, he imparts to us a new nature. Titus 2, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How do you do that? Through Christ. That nature that's in you, the Holy Ghost that comes to live in you, he's the one that teaches you those things. Brother Todd, you didn't know anything about God whenever God saved you. I didn't either. I lived in church my whole life, and I knew nothing about God. I had some knowledge of some things that had been preached and taught. But to really know anything about God, I didn't know it. How can I? I'm a sinful, corrupt creature. Depraved in my nature. But God. He teaches you those things. The Holy Ghost that lives in you, he shows you these things. And then he said, and beside this, because of this, is what he really means here, was what he's saying, for this reason, for this cause, he said, give an all diligence. Given all diligence. That word diligence there means take the meaning of haste or importance. He's saying pay attention to these things. Make this a priority. Look to these things. Make these things important in our life. He said, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Brother Keith, I looked that up. Because I know me. And that word there, your, it really just means that thing that's pertaining to you. Because when I read through that this morning, and last week, and the week before that, I said to myself, you know, I didn't ever have any faith. I didn't. So how could I add to my faith? But here he's saying your faith, that faith that pertains to you, that faith that God's given you, is what he's saying. Can I add anything to the faith that God's given me? No, I couldn't make the faith. I didn't produce the faith in myself. I can't increase my faith. God does that. But he's saying here, he said, add to your faith virtue. He's saying it's important for you to strive towards these things, to build these things up, to increase these things in your life. And every one of these, when we go through them and look at them, every one of them is a grace and gift of God. Every one of them. It's nothing that you did in yourself. But he's telling us here we need to pay attention to these things and we really need to strive to increase these things in our lives. He says, add to your faith virtue. And virtue is good works. But not just moral good works, Brother Todd. That's the good works of God. That's the goodness that flows from the grace of God. Brother, you look at these are all fruits of the Spirit. It's all a work done of God in your life and through you. It's all something that's given by God. Brother Keith here, he says, given all diligence. He said, so we ought to be paying attention to these things. We ought to strive towards these things. We ought to be looking to these things. This is what we ought to do. This is the way we ought to live. And brother, it'll take his help and grace to get to do any of this. The virtue, a lot of times we think virtue, you think of it as good works. But like I said, it's not just a moral goodness. Brother Keith, if you did something for me, in my flesh, I would feel obligated to do something for you. In my flesh. But that's not virtue here. Virtue is me wanting to do something for you because I love you. And I want to see good for you. And I want to see you encouraged. And it's flowing from the grace of God. That's virtue. And that's not, Brother Keith, me doing something for you that somebody might see something and I might say, hey, look what I did. That's me out of a spirit of humility wanting to help somebody. And that God gets the glory for it. That God gets the honor. That God gets the praise. That's me trying to be a help and encouragement to somebody. Not that somebody would say, hey, look what Brother Todd did, or, you know, look what Robert did, or look what Brother Joel did, but that God would get glory. Look what God did through them.
Right.
Look what God used Brother Keith to do, allowed him to do. And then he said, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Scriptures, knowledge of Christ, knowledge of the truth. It's a spiritual understanding. That's what knowledge means, is understanding. It's really all about spiritual things. Here's what he's talking about. That's learning more about Jesus Christ. That's understanding more about Jesus Christ. Brother Joel, I can get in the New Testament and read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and I can see Jesus Christ living on this earth. Acts. You can see Him from birth till He ascended to the Father. And I can see what Jesus Christ is like and how He lived and how He treated others and how He loved others. But brother, I can just as easily go and look in Psalm 23 and see that He's my shepherd. And I can learn from the attributes of Him. I can look in Isaiah 53 of Him suffering there on the cross. And I can learn of Him. Old Testament or New, it's all about Him. Every bit of it. So He said here, to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue add knowledge. It's an understanding of Jesus Christ. It's learning more about Him. He said this is important. We had to add diligence to these things. Brother Keith, I can't help but look. If I look through the gospel and see the life of Jesus Christ, I can't help but look at how He lived before others. He told His disciples, if a man strike you on one cheek, turn to him the other. That's against my human nature. I got to thinking about that yesterday, Brother Keith. If somebody slapped me upside the face, I'm going to blow up like a little banty rooster. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. It would take the grace of God in me, God working through me, not to punch that fella. And it'd take the grace of God in you. But that's what Jesus told his disciples to do. Why? Because that don't show you. It don't show Joel Hyde. It don't show Robert Parker. It shows Christ through you. I can't help but see him surrounded by a bunch of Pharisees and a sinner woman come in and want to wash his feet with the hairs of her head. And Jesus shows compassion to her and loves the sinner. In spite of a bunch of hypocritical Pharisees that wanted to stone him and kill him and was just looking for a reason to crucify him, he showed love. Brother, you cannot look at the life of Christ and not learn from those things. It's against our human nature to live that way. It is. I was taught the law my whole life as a child. And you were too. I mean, this whole country is based on laws. This is okay to do, this is not okay to do. It's do's and don'ts is all it is. But God goes beyond that. God goes on with love. The Bible, or Jesus said over there that the commandments say to love, to hate your enemies, to love your brethren, but to hate your enemies. He said, to love those that love your enemies and do good to those that despitefully use you. Right. Brethren, here we ought to learn more about Jesus Christ. We ought to learn more about his attributes. We ought to learn more about his promises. Brother Keith, just an understanding of more of what he did for me there on Calvary. You can't look at those things and not marvel in your mind. I mean, Brother Joel, because of Calvary, I've been forgiven. He redeemed me on Calvary. He forgave me there at Calvary. He made an atonement for me there at Calvary. I was justified because of Calvary. And we ought to learn, we ought to strive, we ought to understand more about him. Brother Todd, I don't think it's wrong to know about cars, how to work on cars, right? You like that thing. I do too some, a little bit. I'm liking it less now that I get older. But I used to like that. I used to like tinkering with stuff like that. And a knowledge of those things ain't wrong. But that ought not be my strive. I ought not strive towards those things. I ought to strive to know more about him, to know more about the spiritual things. What was I put on this earth for, Brother Keith? It wasn't to go live my life however I wanted to. It was to live for him. I was put here on this earth, Brother Joel, to grow up, be submissive to my parents. One day, God would save me. And then he had a purpose for me and a purpose for you. You've got a race to run. You've got a course to run. And it's not to sit on a church pew three times a week and go out and live how you want to the rest of the time. That's what a lot of us do sometimes. And I know we all fell into that sometimes. But we're to live for him. Second Peter 3, verse 18, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Brother, we ought to learn as much as we can about him. Because that's what helps me. If I learn a bunch of do's and don'ts, Brother Keith, that don't really help me none. Because any person on the outside can do that. The Pharisees knew what to do and what not to do. But Jesus said, you're whited sepulchres. You're full of dead men's bones. It's empty. It's empty. But knowing about Him, knowing Him, but knowing about Him, that understanding, that knowledge. And then He said, add to knowledge, temperance. Temperance. Self-control. That's what that really means, self-control. Brother, that goes into all things. A temperate person, if you look it up, a temperate person is one who masters or bridles his passions or his desires, is really what that means. It means that, Brother Keith, you got a want and a desire to do something, but you bring yourself under submission anyway to do what's right. You're temperate. I think a lot of times you can just look around. There's people in this life that their life is a roller coaster. They're up, they're down. They're up, and they're down. A temperate man is one that looks pretty even all the time. Don't get riled by much. I think, Brother Joel, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I know life gives us all kinds of ups and downs. There is. There's going to be things you're going to have to face. Brother Keith, there's things I got to face. There's things you got to face. That's just the way it is. But I thought yesterday of a duck. Brother Keith, you ever seen a duck splashing and flopping around in the water? No, they glide across the top. Everything's just smooth. They ain't making much, just a little bit of a wake. Brother, underneath this, there's a lot of kicking and going on. Brother, that's the way our lives ought to be. I know there's things that we're going to have to face. There's struggles. That duck's got to paddle against the water. But to this lost and dying world, we ought to look more tempered. We ought to look more even-keeled. That's the way it ought to be. And I know everybody's different. Some people are a whole lot more passionate about things than others. Some people just go with the flow and however. My wife will tell you, I try not to get too stirred up about a lot of things. She's as far the other way as it can go. And every little thing's. But brother, that didn't come in myself. And it won't come in her, in herself. Brother Joel, it don't come in you, in yourself. Because I know you. And I know me. And in ourselves, we're up and down. That's just the way it is. Brother, he says here we ought to be temperate. Have some temperance. I thought scripture came on my mind yesterday as I was thinking about this. The word temperance means self-control. And in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he said, know ye not they which run in a race, run all. But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may attain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He said, if you're going to run, you're going to have some self-control. You're going to have to be temperate about these things. You're going to have to put your body under subjection. That's what he says here. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. What is he really saying there, brother? You think about this for a little bit. I don't know if you've ever run track or run a marathon, but you have to have some self-control. Brother Keith, you don't stay up all hours of the night. You don't eat anything you want to. You don't drink a bunch of cheer wine right before you go to run a race. It just don't happen. It don't work that way. You'd have to bring your body under subjection. You're going to have to eat the right things. You're going to have to get enough sleep. You're going to have to stay hydrated. I thought there of a boxer. He mentions a boxer there. He said, I keep under my body and bring in a subjection. He said, I fight not as one that beat there. He said, I ain't just shadow boxing. He said, I'm working for a purpose towards a goal. And I thought there, it mentions that beating there. It mentions a boxer. And I thought about that. He said, I keep under my body and bring in a subjection. Brother Keith, you think about boxing. Most people, most of them, ain't knocking people out every time. What are they doing? They're beating their opponent in the subjection. It's body blows and jabs and it's wearing them down. And then once you have them down, it's keeping them that way. What is it called now? A technical knockout, a TKO. You knock your opponent down, and they get back up, you knock them down again. You do that enough times, I think it's three times, you do that enough times, and they're considered knocked out. Brother, that's what we have to do to this flesh. It's what I have to do to my flesh. It keeps wanting to jump up. But you got to keep it down. You got to keep forcing it down. Why? Because if you let it back up, it's going to eventually beat you. Boxing ain't one round. 10, 12, a lot of those matches go. It's a battle. And brother, every once in a while you might lose a round. But you got to keep under your body and you got to keep bringing it under subjection. And that's what we got to do. He said, you must be temperate in all things. I thought about those things. Those athletes, those people that's how they make their living. That's how they're going for a goal. Brother, they can't just do what they want to do. They have to bring their body under subjection. They eat the right things. They work out. They do all these things. And I'm not saying to do that physically. But spiritually, that's the way we ought to do. If we don't read, we don't pray. Brother, if I don't pray, I'm in trouble. And I might not be in my prayer place for no hour. But brother, if it's not a constant thing of prayer, if it's not every time something comes up in my face, I pray the Lord right then. If there's a temptation put out in front of me, if I don't go to God right then, I'm losing that round, brother. That's the way it is with you, if you'll be honest. We've got to be temperate. We got to be the same all the time. How do you do that? Is staying with God. Staying in communion with God. That's the only way you're going to do it. Then he says, and to temperance, patience. The word patience is a perseverance. It's a cheerful endurance. Brother Todd, that's knowing you got a path that you need to go down. You've got a will of God for your life. You've got a purpose in your life. And whether the storms are raging or the battle's on or you just don't feel like it today, it's getting up and putting one foot in front of the other and keep going. That's what that is. That's knowing that God has a purpose in whatever He's put in your life. And whether you got a loss in the family, or it just looks like it's just dark clouds everywhere you look, and the storms are coming, and the bills are coming in, and people are talking and running their mouth about you, or whatever else there is, you know that God has a will for your life, and you just keep on doing it. That's His patience here. It's a cheerful endurance. I thought yesterday, Uncle Robert used to say something to me, I don't know. It's right. He said, when it gets tough, when the going gets tough, get tough. That's what he'd say. That's cheerful endurance. That's that patience. Brother Keith, you know that God's opened some doors for you in your life. Sometimes it's hard to walk through that door. But that's knowing that God of heaven's giving you peace on the inside and saying, this is the way I want you to go. And you go. You have enough faith and trust in a holy and righteous God that if He opened the door, He will help you through it. And that's trusting Him each and every step.
Yeah.
Brother Keith, you can't just walk through that door and then walk on your own way. It's walking in Him. If you don't have His help and grace, you're going to fall. If I don't have His help and grace, I'm going to fall. I'm not going to be temperate if I don't have His help and grace. I'm not going to have any patience. There sure won't be no virtue without His help and grace. He said, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. Give all diligence. Give all diligence to add to your virtue knowledge. All diligence to add to your knowledge temperance. And so forth and so on. He said, and to patience godliness. Godliness there, it's a reverence, it's a respect towards God. Brother Keith, it's holiness, but not just for holiness' sake. It's living right and doing right, but it's doing that thing out of a love for God or a reverence for God. That's godliness. The quote unquote good person out on the street that's doing it to be seen a man, that's not godliness. Even the one that has read the law and knows it's just the right thing to do, that's still not godliness. Godliness is your attitude of your heart towards God. It's the attitude of your heart and what you're doing is the godliness. Godliness literally means like God. That's what it really means. Why do you live right? Because I don't want to. In myself, I don't want to disappoint or disrespect my Lord. I don't want to sin against God. That's that love in my heart for Him that I don't want to do those things. Brother Todd, it ain't because there's a whole law over here that says don't do these things. Because it's the right thing to do. It's, Lord, I want to live this way today because I don't want to hurt You. You did everything for me. I want to live for You. That's living for God because you love God. Because you respect and honor Him. You don't want to disobey Him or disappoint Him. You know, there's a lot of times a child, if they love their parent like they should, there's a lot of things I did growing up. I did it because I love my parents. I didn't want to disappoint them. I didn't want to disrespect them. I didn't necessarily want to do it. But I did that way. I lived that way because I wanted to be respectful to them. I wanted to show love towards them. Why? Because they love me. So much more should we do that towards God. That's a living godly in your heart to God. Brother Keith, a godly man is going to pray. A godly man's going to read his Bible. A godly man's going to love the preaching of the Word of God. He's going to love the fellowship of the people of God. But he's not doing those things because he's just who he is. He's doing those things because he loves God. It's really the proof of what's in you is really what it comes down to. Godliness is you live this way because God lives in you and you love God. Brother Keith, like I just said, that you can pray, that don't make you godly. But if you are godly, you will pray. That's what I'm really trying to say. If doing something good for you don't make me a godly person, but if I am a godly person, I will do something good for you. If I see you need something, if I see you struggling with something, if I see where you just need some encouragement, I'm going to reach out to you. It ain't that makes me godly. It's just, that's the proof. If you're godly, that's the way you live. And that's not doing it for men, that's doing it for God. And then he said, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, brother, these things just roll right into each other. That's a love for the brethren. 1 John 3, verse 14, he said, and we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He said, brotherly kindness. Brother Joel, I looked up kindness the other day in that Webster's 1828, and I wrote it down. It was a good little definition. It says, goodwill or benevolence, that temperate disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. Brother Keith, that's you. Making other people happy makes you happy. Which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses. Kindness ever accompanies love. He said, you can't take them apart. He said, they're right there together. If you love somebody, you're going to be kind to them. You can't separate it, brother. If I see you have a need, you see I have a need, that's brotherly kindness there. That's love for your brother to do what you can help do to help somebody. It is. It's love for these people of God that God's put in our lives and in our hearts. Brother Todd, if my love for God's right, if I see you in need, I'm going to do whatever I can to help you out. And if your love for God's right, then you see I have a need and you're going to do the same. And brother, you say, well, I might not have anything. I might not be able to do that. You can always pray. If you know God, you can always pray. Brother, I get more help from the people of God most of the time from prayer than I do anything else. Best thing you can do for me, Brother Joel, is pray for me. Yes. It is. The best thing I can do for you, best way for me to show you brotherly kindness, Brother Keith, is for me to pray for you. Sure, if I've got something you need and I see it, surely I ought to open up bowels of compassion and give whatever I can to help you out. But I can always pray for you. There might come a time I don't have something to give you. I might not have no money. I might not have whatever you need physically. But I can give you love through praying for you. I can show you that brotherly kindness through that. And then he says, add to your brotherly kindness charity. That's literally love or affection. That's not only loving your brethren like that brotherly kindness there. Well, that's loving all men. Well, you really look into charity. The word charity literally means love feast, is what it means. That's what it means. It's a love feast. And brother, if you really look into charity, it encompasses it all. It encompasses the love or your brotherly kindness. It encompasses me loving you because you're my brother. But it also encompasses me loving this world because God loved this world. I'm not talking about the sin of the world, but the people of this world. Having a love for people. Yeah. Wanting to do good to people. Yeah. To love people. Yeah. That's charity. It's not only loving your brethren, but loving those that don't love you. Right. Loving those that hate you. Yeah. He said, we ought to give all diligence to adding these things. Brother, and I know every bit of this is a grace of God. Brother Keith, you can't have love for someone that hates you and would love nothing more than to do evil to you. You can't show that person love without the grace of God. You can't do it. You can't add that to your faith without the grace of God. You can't add any of these things without the grace of God. It's all of this is a gift of God. It's all a fruit. These are all fruits of the Spirit of God that lives in you. He said in verse 8, and he said, if these things be in you and abound, if these things are yours, if these things have been given to you, if these things have been worked in you by the Holy Ghost, and they abound, if they're getting bigger, they're increasing, brother, I've done said it, is these are just proofs in us. This is just the fruit in us of what God's already done in you. Every bit of this is grace. Brother Joel, if you've got these things in your life, it shows that God's given you grace. And God's working that grace through you. It says here that they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. That word make there means to declare or show to be. It literally means, Brother Keith, that this is the proof. The old saying, the proof's in the pudding. What's in it? Brother Keith, the wife made a blackberry pie the other day. I never had a blackberry pie before. I'd had blackberry sonka. I'd had blackberry preserves. I'd had blackberry cobblers. Never had a blackberry pie. Brother Joel, I didn't know that blackberry pie was good till I eat it. And then I couldn't show any temperance and not eat it all. Wasn't very temperate that day. Didn't have much self-control. But brother, I didn't know till I tried it. I didn't know it till I experienced it. He said, these things here make you, they will show what you really are, is what it's really going to say here. He said, they'll make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful. That word barren just means useless. Having no fruit. It's not producing anything. You should be neither barren nor unfruitful. Unfruitful just means that it has no fruit. It's not yielding. It's not producing. And Brother Joel, there's people in churches all over the world today that will be sitting in a church and their knowledge of Christ is unfruitful, and it's barren. They're basing it off an experience they had or a time that they knelt, a head knowledge that they've got. They're basing it off of a prayer that they repeated or a set of beliefs that they prescribed to, but they don't know anything about God. These things don't abound in their life and aren't getting bigger in their life. Why? Because it's showing the proof of what they really have. That's what he's really getting down to. He says, if you've got these things in your life and they're getting bigger and God's growing these things in your life, Brother Todd, we ought not be in the same spot we were 20 years ago. We ought not be. I know everybody grows different in different things. God has to work that in you. That's the proof of it. God's doing that work. If I'd have set this thing up, we'd learn this, and then we'd learn this, and we'd learn this, and everybody would be on the same level. But that ain't the way God does it. God works a grace in you different than he works a grace in you. But it's all of him. And if you've got these graces in you, if you've got these fruits in you and they're abounding, then it is the proof. The proof's in the pudding. It's there. People can see it. It's a proof in you to a lost and dying world. But it's also a proof to you, Brother Joel.
How do I know that I'm saved this morning, Brother Todd? Yeah, I remember a time that I prayed. I remember a lot of times that I prayed. And I remember that there was a weight that lifted off of me that day. But if that's all I had, I would doubt me an awful lot.
Yeah.
But I know today that what I have in my life is true and it's real. Why? Because of the proof that's coming through it.
Right.
God grows us. God continues to use you. God continues to put forth His work. He shows His grace to you and through you. And that's all an act of God. It's all a grace of God. God bless you.